In Bali, thousands of Australians have been anxiously waiting for flights out as Mount Agung is rumbling and smoking with activity. They will get out, but of course local people have to stay and make do in the shadow of the volcano. Whole Balinese communities have been evacuated from the danger zone. But what do you do? Where do you go if you're heavily pregnant, about to give birth in the midst of a threatened volcanic eruption? One answer is Bumi Sehat. This is a free health and birthing clinic in Ubud that relies on donations and overseas volunteers to survive. Now, just a couple of days ago, Australian tourist Nicole Steinke, who's a former RN feature maker, recorded this story on her mobile phone and sent it to us here at Life Matters.
Wow. What on earth is this room here, Robin?
This is my office.
Your office?
This is my office, yes. There are 100,000 condoms in here and a bed.
Right. How appropriate.
It doubles as a storage room.
I'm in Bumi Sehat with Ibu, or Mother Robin Lim. She's the powerhouse behind this birthing and community health center in Ubud, the cultural capital of the beautiful island of Bali.
We had 180,000 condoms.
Bumi Sehat means healthy Mother Earth. They receive about 500 babies into the world here every year, and they do it for free. This tiny room stacked with boxes is Ibu Robin's office. It's full of donations.
Someone did give me a desk, which we do use.
It's a very small desk also.
But it works. and yeah, I love
it. And somebody donated a whole lot of condoms.
Yes, but we distribute these for free. Sometimes in the streets, the young man or the young woman will say, Ibu Robin, can I have some condoms? I'm like, you just go to Bumi Sehat and get them. There's a fishbowl there by the reception. Stick your hand in and take as many as you want. And they're like, malu, they're shy. I say, don't be shy. Everybody gets laid. And I'm happy you're getting laid. So please enjoy the condoms, and they're free.
And for those who haven't used condoms, you have a lot of baby products here. And you have a really delightful knitted white wool bear.
These beautiful women from Australia, they make beautiful knitted bears, baby hats, little sweaters, knitted blankets for our babies and our families. You know, the upcountry families that live in the cold areas, they get the warmer clothes for the children. We have baby packets. We have little baby layettes so that everything that a mother could possibly need for her baby is provided.
What do you really need at the moment?
Money. I really need funding.
There are 120 extra people living at Bumi Sehat right now. Pregnant women, women who've just birthed, and their families. Bumi Sehat believes in always keeping the family together. So right now, the place is totally overrun with children. I came here with a friend, an Australian midwife, yesterday. And we were immediately put to work entertaining the children. It's the wet season, and in the afternoon it's impossible to play outside. While inside their temporary evacuation quarters, there are 30 or more people to a room with one toilet. But that's a lot better than the odds at the government camps.
How do I say beautiful?
The children are amazingly well behaved. They sit on the floor, drawing and singing, having informal English lessons from another Robin, this one from Australia.
Australians, and I'm just one of them, they really tap into Bali. You know, sure, it's a rite of passage to young Aussies to come here, but there are countless Australian families who have adopted countless Balinese families, and they come every year and they use the same driver, and they bring the driver's family gifts and things like that, and clothes and various things. Or they sponsor kids to go to school, or they go to the orphanages.
I'm going to Australia today.
Australians have a long history of loving Bali. It's the tropical paradise on our back door. Gently smiling people, I'm not talking about Kuta here, banana pancakes, and an obvious disparity in wealth between us and them.
Thank you for a beautiful drawing session. I learned so much.
It brings out the giving heart in some people.
Bali called me back after many troops here, and I heard the call and I came. And one of the calls, one of the little glimmers of need was Bumi Sahat. You know, I'd met Robin and heard her extraordinary stories of the work she did in Aceh, families that were swept into water, and she was delivering babies in water. And she's someone who can inspire others to do a lot to help people, and she's inspired me to do that. I think that I can make a difference, and that's what I'm having a go at. I'm just having a go.
She's not the only one. A crisis like the eruption of the sacred volcano Mount Agung intensifies some people's desire to help. Even as most of us are checking and rechecking emails from our airlines, hoping to get off the island before all hell breaks loose, some people choose to stay. They know that the Balinese can't leave. Ibu Robin from Bumi Sahat has been here 26 years. She's just come from visiting the evacuation centers around the island. More than 100,000 people have been told they must leave their homes. Ibu Robin tells me what she's seen in the camps.
Well, I find that people are homesick. Many times they've left animals or they've sold their cows for a fraction of what they're worth, their livestock. They're worried if they didn't bring their dog down, their family dog. Sometimes they left in the middle of the night, they couldn't find the family dog or the family cat. I saw that some people did have their animals. They, you know, it's very difficult. How do you live in an evacuee camp with your chickens? You don't. And their children are there, and they're crowded. I saw about 800 people sharing two bathrooms yesterday and keeping them as clean and tidy as they could. What I saw there with those people living in crowded conditions with broken hearts and so homesick was a tremendous amount of grace. I was so touched by how caring everyone was, and someone would come and say, well, there's a woman here with high blood pressure, let me go look for her, and really make an effort in the crowd to find her and bring her to the medical care that was being offered for free. People standing in line to get medicine and making very polite, saying, was I here first or were you here first, you know? The kind of care, and it was starting to rain, so just beautiful. People cooking and helping each other, sharing food. And, you know, what can the government do?
Tens of thousands have moved, but the majority of people have ignored the government's instruction to leave their homes. Many say it's because they left in October when Agung first became active, and nothing happened. The volcano didn't erupt. So they returned home to their farms and animals. Now they don't want to leave again.
We went from 1,000 tremors a day to about 100. And less even. But remember, every time we had a tremor, that was the magma breaking through strata of rock that was laid down when it cooled in 63, when it finally, by 64, when it started to cool down. And all those barriers to an eruption were being broken through, layer by layer, and that caused the earth to shake. When the earth stopped shaking, it was because the magma was pretty much at the top. So it wasn't good news that the earth stopped shaking. And then suddenly we had what's called harmonic tremors, which means that one earthquake begins before another one ends, and they begin to resonate. And that resonance causes a song like a theremin, like a woo. And the people who survived 1963 will tell you that the mountain was singing. And the young people say, you know, the old people, they were so crazy, they actually thought the mountain was singing to them and warning them before it erupted. And I said, no, that's what's called a harmonic tremor. And they're like, really? And I would go online and I would show them.
The pull of home, I think, is one of the big things. Nawa, a brand new father, his father passed away on Sunday. And, you know, he had ceremonial duties to perform, rites to perform for his father. These people are 9 kilometres from the summit, and the roads will be potentially hazardous, especially if lava flows over road routes that could get them out. So I've had a few sleepless nights worrying about whether they're going to get away, because of course things have escalated in these past couple of days and the warnings have become very dire, And that's when I really started getting on the phone and trying to say, you've got to come, you've got to get out of here. And still, Bapak keeps saying, no, we're okay. When we don't feel safe, we'll come. And so I just hope the gods are going to look after that, those two little families. They're very closely related. And they spent time together in the shelter, in the Burmese Sahat shelter. You know, they were all sleeping in the same little quarters under mosquito nets. And they had lovely, gentle, quiet little babies who I hope are going to live to grow up and do some good things for their island.
Hiya!
You know, our midwives make so little, and our doctors and our nurses, compared to what their salary might be, $300 Australian a month. But we do need to be able to provide them with their salaries. I need to pay the electric bill here. Hopefully our electric won't go off with the volcano.
On top of their grassroots birthing and community health work, Bumi Sehat is now supporting 120 evacuees.
I don't know anybody who's supporting 100 people for 2,000 Aussie a month, but we are doing that. And we do it because we get lots of donations of things we need, things like eggs and rice. I have midwives and nurses from Australia who visit here year after year, and they save money. I have yoga teachers that do classes just for Bumi Sehat. Every single week they do several yoga classes, and they save all that money. And I have women in Australia who are doing garage sales, and they keep the best stuff to bring those baby clothes and children's clothes to us at Bumi Sehat, and then everything else they sell in garage sales, and they bring the cash to us. It costs a lot of money to give 150,000 people a year free health care. It costs a lot of money to receive 500 babies into the world every year. If I would let an infant formula company sponsor me, I'd never have to give another fundraising plug again. And you know what I do every morning when I get up at 4 a.m. is I get on the internet and I start begging.
The founder of Bumi Sehat, Robin Lim, known as Ibi Robin or Mother Robin, along with an Australian volunteer and longtime Bali visitor, also called Robin. The reporter in Bali, Nicole Steinke, and producer was Michael McKenzie. If you'd like to know more about the health centre and its work, or perhaps you'd like to offer help in some form or other, you can go to the Life Matters website and look for details under today's stories.